right, let's begin our teaching on the controversy of Zion. The controversy of Zion is mentioned in Isaiah chapter 34 and verse 8. In order to understand the controversy of Zion, we need to understand the biblical definition of Zion. Biblically, who or what is Zion? Well, number one, Zion is a term for the people of the God of Israel. Zion is a term for the land of Israel itself. We're told that when Messiah, when he sets up his kingdom, that the Torah will go forth from Zion. Zion is the fulfillment of the biblical covenant made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Zion is also the term that the Bible gives for the end of the exile of Jacob. Zion is a term for the Messianic era, and Zion is a term for the uniting of the 12 tribes, Yeshua redeeming and dwelling with his people. Next. So let's look at some scriptures for this. Zion is a term for the people of the God of Israel. Isaiah in chapter 51, verse 16. It says, "And say unto Zion, you are my people." Zion is the people of the God of Israel. Next. Zion is a term for the land of Israel. Joel chapter 2, verse 1. "Blow the shofar in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble." Blow a shofar in Zion. Let the inhabitants of the land tremble. In the Messianic era, the Torah will go forth from Zion, Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 3. "And many people will go and say, come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, we will walk in his paths. Out of Zion shall go forth the Torah and the word of Yahweh from Jerusalem." So we see the Torah and the word of Yahweh are synonymous terms. And out of Zion goes forth the Torah from Jerusalem. So Jerusalem is a term for Zion, but the Torah will go forth from those who are made kings and priests before Yahweh. Revelation chapter 5 verse 10. So Zion is a term for the kings and the priests who will be teaching the Torah. Zion is a term for the bride of the Messiah. Now Zion is the fulfillment of the covenant that was made with Abraham by Yeshua the Messiah. It says in Genesis 12:1, Yahweh said to Abram, "I will bless those that bless you and curse him that curses you, and in you shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Well, the one who is making covenant with Abraham, Genesis 17 verse 1, is El Shaddai. And Genesis 17:1 referred to as Almighty God. The Almighty is a term in Revelation chapter 1 for Yeshua, who said in Revelation 1:8, "I'm the Alpha, the Omega," says the beginning and ending. "I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the ending," says Yahweh, "which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty." The Almighty is the Alpha and the Omega. So who's the one that is making covenant with Abraham? It's Yeshua. Now in Genesis 17 verse 7 it says, "I will establish my covenant between you and your seed after you." It's made between Abraham and his seed. This is what Paul quotes in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16, where he says, next, "Now Abraham and his seed were the promises made." He says, "Not seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, which is Messiah. And if you are Messiah," Galatians 3:29, "then you are Abraham's seed, and you are an heir according to the promise." Now, believing the covenant that was made with Abraham is the comfort of Zion. Says Isaiah 51, verses 1 through 3, "Hearken to me, that you that follow after righteousness." Who are those that follow after righteousness? They believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, and they're following his Torah. So you who believe in Yeshua and are following his Torah, look to Abraham. So what does it mean to look to Abraham? It says, look, and embrace the covenant that was made with Abraham. In doing so, Yahweh will comfort Zion. The comfort of Zion is the end of the exile. Jeremiah 31 verse 10 says, "He that scattered Israel will gather him." He that scattered Israel will gather him. Jeremiah 31 verse 13, "I will comfort them." Who's he comforting? Those who he's gathering. So who is he gathering? He's gathering the 12 tribes of Israel. This is the building up of Jerusalem or the building up of Zion. Psalm 147 verse 2. Yahweh builds up Jerusalem. What is the building up of Jerusalem? He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. Now, in Psalm 102 verse 13, Yeshua says he'll have mercy on Zion. And then it says in Psalm 102 verse 60, when he builds up Zion, Zion and Jerusalem are synonymous terms. So what is building up a Zion? It is building up a Jerusalem. So when he builds up Jerusalem, he will appear in his glory. So when Yeshua gathers physically the 12 tribes of Israel, he will appear in his glory. And Yeshua, it says, he's Yahweh of hosts. In Isaiah chapter 8, verse 18, it says he dwells in Mount Zion. And in Joel chapter 3, verse 16, he will roar out of Zion. So with the establishment of Zion, he will roar. He will make himself known. He will reveal himself. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 9, it says Jacob is the inheritance of Yahweh. Jacob is the inheritance of Yahweh. Next. But in Exodus chapter 6, verse 8, it says, "The land of Israel is the heritage of the nation of Israel. I will bring you into the land that I promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage." I will give you the land as a heritage. So the land is the heritage of the nation of Israel, but the nation of Israel is the heritage of Yahweh. And the Torah is the inheritance of the nation of Israel. Moses commanded us a Torah, the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob, Deuteronomy 33 verse 4. So what is biblical Zion? Biblical Zion is the unification of the people, the land, the Torah, and the Messiah. Biblical Zion is the unification of the people, the land, the Torah, and the Messiah. What's the controversy of Zion? It's a controversy over the people who follow the Torah and believe the land promised to Abraham as an eternal inheritance for the seed of Abraham. And because Yahweh will roar out of Zion, the Messiah is going to fight for biblical Zion. In the battle, Esau is going to oppose Jacob because Esau wants to make the mountains of Israel his possession. Ezekiel chapter 36 is a prophecy to the mountains of Israel where it says, "You mountains of Israel, hear the word of Yahweh." And it says in verse 2 that the enemy will say against the mountains of Israel, that's the West Bank and Jerusalem, that they belong to us. The ancient high places are ours in possession. But this will cause the wrath of Yahweh, Ezekiel 36 verse 5, that in the fire of his jealousy, he's spoken against Edom, or Esau, who appoints his land for their possession with despiteful minds. Now, we have the Arabs and the PLO that wants to make the mountains of Israel their possession with despiteful minds to drive Israel to the sea. But we also have the West, and the Western powers wants the mountains of Israel and Jerusalem to be a Palestinian state and Jerusalem be a national city for their possession, for their New World Order, and as a despiteful mind to set up world government and set up one world socialism. Next. So Esau is referred to as Mount Seir in Genesis chapter 36 and verse 8. And in the Art Scroll of Ezekiel, commentary to Ezekiel 36 on page 549 of the commentary, they identify that the enemy that wants to make the mountains of Israel his possession as Esau. Now, the world will refer to Zion and see Zion as an outcast. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 17 says, I will restore health unto you. Health is the end of the exile. And I will heal you of your wound. The wound is the exile. And when's he going to heal the wound? When they call you an outcast, saying, this is Zion which no man seeks after. Now, there's a strong picture of the meaning of and the communication of what's being said here in the Hebrew language, because where it says they called, it's the Hebrew word kara. It means to approach and speak to in a challenging and aggressive way. And the word outcast is nadak, which means to drive out or expel. So Yahweh says, I'm going to restore health to you when they approach you in a challenging and aggressive way to drive you out or expel you. And in order to create a Palestinian state, it will require the expelling of Jews. Now, this was prophesied to happen in the end of days. Joel chapter 3, verse 6, it says, the children of Judah and the children of Jerusalem are being removed from their borders. And the removal of Jews from their borders and calling Zion an outcast is associated with Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7 speaks about it being Jacob's trouble, and it connects Jacob's trouble with, I will restore health to you, I will heal you of your wounds, because they called you an outcast, saying, this is Zion, which no man seeks after. Now, during Jacob's trouble, Israel and Judah will return to the land. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 3 says, Israel and Judah will return to the land, and they will possess the land. So speaking about Israel and Judah returning to the land, it says, that day is great, the day that Israel and Judah return to the land. There's none like it. It is the time of Jacob's trouble. So the Jacob's trouble is the darkness part of the day of the Lord. What are some other major events that happen in the darkness part of the day of the Lord? Well, the land of Israel will get divided, and Jerusalem as well. This will be fulfilled through the creation of a Palestinian state. The Gaza will be forsaken. It will result in the judgment of the nations and the fall of Babylon and the Babylonian system. So how do we understand the day of the Lord and these events happening in the day of the Lord? Well, in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, we're told that on the seventh day of creation, the Creator, the one who spoke the world into existence, Yeshua, John chapter 1, verse 3, Colossians 1, 15 and 16, he rested. So the seventh day of creation is the Sabbath. And quoting from Psalm chapter 90, verse 4, and 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, it says, don't be ignorant that one day is with Yahweh 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So after saying, don't be ignorant that one day is with Yahweh 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day, it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, but the day of Yahweh. So how long is the day of Yahweh? It is 1,000 years. It is 1,000 years. The darkness part of the day of Yahweh is the tribulation period. So we're going to highlight some major events of the darkness part of the day of the Lord. So how is the last 1,000 years called the day of the Lord? Well, the day of the Lord is a term for the Sabbath. And the Sabbath is the seventh day, Exodus chapter 20, verse 10. The seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh. And so the seventh day, each day is 1,000 years from the creation of Adam and Eve in the garden. It's 1,000 years, so that last 1,000 year period is a day of the Lord. But it's the seventh day from creation. And the Sabbath itself is not only the seventh day, but it's called the day of Yahweh. Isaiah 58, verse 13. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day. Call the Sabbath the light, the holy of Yahweh honorable. So the Sabbath is my holy day. The Sabbath is the holy of Yahweh. And so it's during the darkness part of the day of Yahweh, commonly called the tribulation period, that cataclysmic events happen. Isaiah 13, verse 6 says, the day of Yahweh is at hand, and it will come as destruction from the Almighty. It says, pains and sorrows will take hold of them. Then in Zephaniah 1, 14 and 15 says, the great day of Yahweh is near. That day is a day of wrath, of trouble, of distress, of wasteness, of desolation, of darkness and gloominess. And the day of Yahweh is associated with Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah 30, verse 7. Alas, for that day is great. What day? The day of the Lord. It is a time of Jacob's trouble. Now, in the day of the Lord, the Gaza will be forsaken. Zephaniah 1, 14 and 15 talks about it's the day of the Lord, a day of trouble and distress, of wasteness, desolation, darkness, and gloominess. Then it goes on to say in Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 4, that the Gaza will be forsaken. Now, is the forsaking of the Gaza mean the expelling of Jews as was happened in August of 2005? It might. But we do know whether it does or whether it has a greater fulfillment, that the scripture says in the day of Yahweh that the Gaza will be forsaken. The Gaza now is currently controlled by Hamas. And it's in the day of Yahweh the land of Israel will be divided. Joel chapter 1 verse 15, it says, the day of Yahweh is at hand, it will come as destruction. And in Joel chapter 3 verse 2, in the day of Yahweh the nations will be gathered and they will part, or they will divide his land. Now, in addition to generically dividing the land of Israel, the nations will divide the city of Jerusalem in the day of Yahweh. Zechariah 14 verse 1, behold, the day of Yahweh comes. Zechariah 14 verse 2, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and half of the city will go into captivity, which means it will not be under Jewish control. And so once we see the dividing of the land of Israel and the city of Jerusalem, that is when Yahweh's got to fight against the nations as he fought against in the day of battle. That's judgment of the nations. And following judgment of the nations, Zechariah 14 verse 4, in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. Now, in the judgment of the nations, the judgment will be nuclear. Zechariah 14 verse 12, this will be the plague where Yahweh will smite all the people that fought against Jerusalem. This will be the plague of the nations. Their flesh will consume away where they stand upon their feet. Their eyes shall consume away in their holes. So this is describing nuclear warfare. And the day of the Lord itself is associated with the judgment of the nations. And talking about Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah 30 verse 7, it says, I am with you to save you, or to redeem or deliver you. Jeremiah 30 verse 11, that is Jacob, because he's delivering and redeeming Jacob, because that's when he gathers Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel. And in doing so, I will make a full end of all nations where I have scattered you. He's judging the nations while he's redeeming Jacob. And we can see how the judgment of the nations is associated with the controversy of Zion. Isaiah 34 verse 1 and 2, it says, come ye nations to hear, for the indignation of Yahweh is upon the nations. Why is his indignation upon the nations? Because in verse 8, it's the day of his vengeance for the controversy of Zion. In the day of Yahweh, we have the fall of Babylon and the Babylonian system. Part of this Babylonian system is the Babylonian financial system, which we're seeing the cracking of it as we speak. So it says, the burden of Babylon, Isaiah 13, verse 1, and the day of Yahweh is at hand. And Babylon is described this way, Isaiah 13, verse 19, that it is the glory of kingdoms. So in countries regarded as the glory of kingdoms. It would be the United States of America. So this is not only talking about the fall of the land of the United States of America, but it's talking about the fall, when it's talking about Babylon being judged in the end days, it talks about the judgment upon the economic system of Babylon in the context of judging the nations. Now, Babylon itself comes from the Hebrew word Babel. It's the Strong's number 894, and Babel or Babylon means confusion by mixing. Babylon is the mixing of good and evil. Let me give you an example. We have low interest rates. That's good. But low interest rates is creating the environment for a weak dollar and the collapsing of the currency. That's bad. So if you want to argue for somebody that doesn't understand economics and you want to say, we have, no, look, the economy's got to do well. We have low interest rates. Low interest rates always helps the economy. So now they're giving you the good part of Babylon, but they're not telling you the bad part of Babylon. So you can confuse by mixing, by highlighting the good at the expense of the evil. So the good, everyone should have health care. The bad, it's got higher taxes, government control, etc. That's Babylon. Confusion by mixing. Next. Now, there's a historical physical land of Babylon. It's in the area of Iran and Iraq. In that area today, there's a financial Babylonian system. There's a religious Babylonian system. This is all a part of Babylon in the Babylonian system. And there's as well an end time spiritual land of Babylon. So let's look at the characteristics of the United States as a spiritual land of Babylon. And Jeremiah 50 verse 12, Babylon is described as being the hindermost of the nations, or an end time nation. And the Hebrew word is akarit. It means at the latter time, the hindermost, the end. It's an end time nation. And Babylon is said to be economically prosperous, because it says in Jeremiah 50 verse 37, a sword is upon her treasures. In Jeremiah 51 verse 13, that she is abundant in treasures. Babylon is a world military power. Jeremiah 51 verse 53, though Babylon should mount up to heaven, though she should fortify the height of her strength. And Babylon has defeated mighty kingdoms through war. Jeremiah 51 verse 20, you are my battle axe and weapons of war. With you will I break in pieces the nations, and with you will I destroy kingdoms. The United States was victorious in World War I and World War II. Babylon dwells upon many waters. Jeremiah 51 verse 13, the United States is surrounded by the Atlantic Ocean, the Pacific Ocean, the Gulf of Mexico, and down through the center of the United States, the Mississippi River. Babylon is a melting pot. Jeremiah 50 verse 37, Babylon is referred to as a mingled people. And Babylon also believes that she will not experience judgment. Isaiah 47 verse 5, it says, you will no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. It says in Isaiah 47 verse 8, you dwell carelessly and you say, I am and there was none like me, and I will not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. So in the midst of our currency, and our indebtedness, what are we still being told? Everything's got to be okay. We're not going to be a widow. But judgment comes upon the land. And it says in Jeremiah 50 verse 13, I will kindle a fire in the cities and devour all round about him. Babylon is destroyed by an assembly of nations. Jeremiah 50 verse 9. I will raise up to cause against Babylon an assembly of great nations. Who would be those assembly of nations? It would be Russia, China, and those who are connected and linked with them. Next. When the attack comes against Babylon, it is devastating. It says Jeremiah 50 verse 14. Put yourselves in array against Babylon, all you that bend the bow, shoot at her, spare no arrows. And Babylon is destroyed like Sodom and Gomorrah. Jeremiah 50 verse 40, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, it says, so shall no man abide there, neither shall any son of man dwell there. So this is not talking about Iraq, because people are still living in Iraq when it fell historically under Nebuchadnezzar. But when Babylon of the end of days gets destroyed, it says it will be desolate without an inhabitant. Jeremiah 51 verse 29. The world will be astonished and be at fear at the fall of Babylon, because it says at the noise of the taking of Babylon, a cry is heard among the nations, Jeremiah 50, verse 46. And Babylon is a destroyer of the heritage of the God of Israel, Jeremiah 50, verse 11. And Babylon and the sower from Babylon is cut off in the time of the harvest, Jeremiah 50, verse 16. Yeshua referred to the harvest as the end of the age, Matthew 13 and verse 39. Now, Yahweh would heal Babylon, but she refuses to repent. It says, Jeremiah 51, verse 8, Babylon is suddenly fallen. Take balm for her, for her pain. If so, that she may be healed. We would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her. And Jeremiah 50 verse 4, it says that the children of Israel and the children of Judah who dwell in Babylon will ask the way to Zion. Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 5. Now, the people, Yahweh's people in Babylon are referred to as lost sheep, Jeremiah 50 verse 6, and their shepherds have caused them to go astray. So, the rabbis of Judaism says Yeshua is not the Messiah, causing the sheep to be scattered. And in Christianity, the pastors say we're not to follow Torah, be scattered. And those who leave Babylon return to the land, they return to Jerusalem. It says, Jeremiah 50 verse 16, for fear of the oppressing sword, they shall flee everyone to his own land, and then you that escape the sword, let Jerusalem come to your mind. Flee to his own land. Well, if we're in Yeshua, where is our land? The land of Israel. And let Jerusalem come to your mind. And when they flee, Jeremiah 50 verse 5, they ask the way to Zion. And in going to Zion, they enter into a perpetual covenant with Yahweh that will not be forgotten. What is this perpetual covenant? It is the covenant of peace of the Messianic era. So they're asking the way to Zion. Now, what is the way to Zion? It is the unification of the people, the land, the Torah, and the Messiah. That is the way to Zion. This unification takes place when Yeshua gathers his people from exile and he's proclaimed as the Messiah and they seek to follow his Torah. It is the cry of the watchman who says, let us go up to Zion. Jeremiah 31 verse 6. There will be a day that the watchman upon Mount Ephraim will say, arise and let us go to Zion unto the Lord our God. When we go to Zion, what are we going to? We're believing that Yeshua is the Messiah, his Torah. We are part of his redemptive plan to gather the 12 tribes of Israel, and we return to the land and rule and reign with him as kings and priests, Revelation chapter 5, verse 10. That is going to Zion. Yes, the watchman is the Hebrew word, root word, Natzar, the same root letters that we get Notzri or Notzrim, which is the Hebrew word for Christian. So there is a rabbinical commentary that said the watchmen here are Christians. So it would be those who the world call Christians of Ephraim who will say, let's go to Zion. And so that is why we are instructed, Psalm 122, verse 6, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. What is praying for the peace of Jerusalem? It's praying for the coming of the Messiah. It's praying for the uniting of the 12 tribes of Israel. It's praying for the Messianic era. It's praying for the new heavens and the new earth. It's a prayer for the shalom of biblical Zion. And it says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and they will prosper that love thee. So this is our teaching on the controversy of Zion. We are in the season of Hanukkah. So what we've been doing the last several weeks is we've been sharing with you teachings regarding understanding the end of days. Last week we went over the UN Arab-Israeli peace process. We taught on the 7,000-year plan of God, now the controversy of Zion. And we're helping us to understand the end of days events because we're approaching the season of Hanukkah. And Hanukkah is a rebellion against Greek mandate and against Greek rule. And Hanukkah will be repeated in the end of days when we have the sons of Zion opposing the sons of Greece.
That's next week.
And so that's what we're sharing with you here these last few weeks in these teachings. Well, it's now time for us here in the congregation to have Oneg. That's eating and fellowship.